Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
If there's one thing I know for sure, it's that I know nothing.
Guess who's back again. Andy's back with his friend. Guess who's back. It's a new era. From Marks, guys. I'm Ethan, if you can't tell by the voice. You guys hear me every week on the Talk the Keki podcast, available on W2M Network, available on all streaming platforms, iCloud, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon, wherever you want to listen to your podcast. Talk the Keki is available with myself and my main host, Matt. However, today is not Talk the Keki. Today is a show that I've been doing with my dear friend here, who I'll introduce in a second. We've been doing it for well over a year. We took a hiatus due to personal life and shit going on, but we have a new addition to the W2M family and our main host for this. As again, I'm just normally a co-host, but our main host, my friend Andy. Andy, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, man? That is quite the lengthy introduction. I appreciate that.
You
Bruce.
Know, we gotta give fucking Mr. context. Buffer. We got to get and now for those who give us a listen and for anyone around the world who gives a fuck about two marks for MMA, it's time. 1 hour with the two greatest idiots in MMA fandom. Andy and Ethan!
Nice, yes. That's what I'm talking about. That's how we get the show started off. Welcome back. Yeah, it's good to be on a new network. Yes. I mean, we weren't on an old network to begin with. So
yeah, like, we did a freelance, basically. You would post it.
Yeah. But
you live in the fucking boonies in California where there's forest fires and bears raping children and shit.
Yeah.
So.
There's a lot of things happening out here. They're trying to combat the bears. They're trying to protect the children. They're trying to get up the fire, and it's just crazy, man.
It's
you know, the what
Wild
I mean?
West. It's literally the Wild West out in the fucking
it's
mountains.
It's the Wild West out here, bro. It's never changed. They said they brought the law to the West, but I ain't seen it, dude.
They brought these nuts to the West.
These nuts. They almost won the presidency. Hey, go these nuts.
I mean, what's it called? Andy would have issues with his internet, and it would, you know, cause a little bit of issues in terms of our delivery. So we've asked Sean to basically be our editor, as he always is, for all the services on the W2M network, and he's graciously agreed. And so here we are, filling a need on the network. MMA and combat sports talk. It's what Andy and I love to do. I do anime a little bit better, if I'm honest. But Andy here is beyond my equivalent when it comes to MMA. Andy is an encyclopedia of MMA. Andy lives for MMA and combat sports. Andy, tell
it is really the only thing I watch.
Star Trek.
It is more because I am a massive nerd than anything else. And I love MMA. I've been watching MMA since I was a the question I think you're getting into is how did I get into MMA?
I started watching MMA
when I was I had a friend of mine, you know, his dad, you know, we all had that story, you know, dad brought me over, you know, we watched UFC, we watched pre-recorded, obviously, you know what I mean, when I was younger, but I remember him showing us like UFC 1 through like 4 and stuff, watching fucking nuts to the girl, you know, just punches and Gracie, you know what I mean, all the early stuff, but you know, whenever I was a kid, you didn't really pay attention to those guys, you know what I mean, and then when I got older, you know, in high school and stuff like that, that's when Pride was happening, you know, Chuck Liddell was coming out. And so I started getting into UFC a lot more then, you know what I mean? And it was kind of happening where I remember the early Pride stuff, like none of it was on TV. It was just like on it was just on websites. I want to say it was MMA Junkie back then. It could have been another site too. There was like a couple like early, you know, websites on it. I mean, this is back when MySpace was rock, you know.
Yeah, really, top eight.
You know what I mean?
Top, you would have been my top eight.
Yeah. You would have been for sure. Dude, we would have had our own like MySpace podcast page.
Oh, that would have been so sick.
Our band, you know what I mean? Everybody had a band, but we had a MySpace page too. And that was like, you know, that's like the way you would get away.
I tried to log into my MySpace. I can't log in. I'm like, fuck, I don't remember.
People are getting back into their accounts. That's like a thing that's happening.
Yeah. Now. Well, I mean, you do it just to see your fucking pictures and whatnot.
Well, but I was talking to one of my buddies from the band, and he was like, we should try to get back in to see if, you know, our stuff is still on there. I'd be like, that'd be
have to cool, think so, bro. Right?
I mean, I would think it's gone.
It depends on how you add it. You add it with all that custom fucking HTML code and shit that you had to build
I had the Three Doors Down for in, you know, background. And, you know, I was so like ready to join the army back then. I was that was a whole different time of life. But yeah, MMA, you know, I was always into football, into you know, boxing a little bit too.
Yeah, boxing's where I started.
You know. But boxing where you, but yeah, not anything like you. And then I always followed MMA and it always kind of kept. And then when I joined the military, you know, the same thing. I, you know, did training, you know, combatives training in the military, did jiu-jitsu when I was in the military as well. So
yeah,
I just always was, you know, kind of around guys who were always interested in it. You know what I mean? And eventually the NFL and all those other sports just completely fell off the map for me. And I just found myself really not even having the time to keep up with the Saints or LSU and all these other things. Yeah. But MMA was coming to the point to where you can get it on UFC, on UFC Fight Pass. You can get it on, you were starting to get it to where it wasn't
just to go to the bar
to the pay-per-view.
I had to go to the
bar to watch. It was becoming so available. You know what I mean? So I want to say like probably around 2012, 2013 is when I really just pretty much became the only thing I started watching.
Went full retard with it.
What's his face with it? Dang name. Forgot the reference, but went full Sam I Am with it. You know what I mean? Dude. So there it is.
Yeah. But I mean, just to let the listeners know in terms of my background, I started out with boxing. I remember staying up on HBO to watch HBO After Dark. And I would always watch for Pornocopia. Always used to love watching Pornocopia on HBO. But I came across boxing one day and I was like, dude, this is really fucking cool. And it was like a rerun, I think, of like Pacquiao and Marquez, I think. I think that's one of the very first fights that I remember seeing. It was Pacquiao and Marquez, and I just was fucking enamored by it. And so I grew up on HBO and Showtime. I grew up watching freaking young Manny Pacquiao, Eric Morales, fucking James Toney, Winky Wright, Bernard Hopkins.
Bernard Hopkins was a motherfucker.
Yep, he was.
At 51.
Yep. I remember Antonio Tarver, late Mike Tyson, late Roy Jones Jr. I could go on and on. I remember watching Showtime, watching young Floyd Mayweather. I watched Chico Corrales and Jose Luis Castillo live. Before he was money, when he was pretty boy. I watched Jose Luis Castillo and Diego Corrales one when it was on that. And that was an incredible fight.
Yeah.
That's why I grew up with boxing. I love boxing. As a kid, I did Taekwondo. So I guess from a mixed martial arts standpoint, Taekwondo is for everybody and their mother. But I'm a third degree black belt. For those who don't know, if you have the video here, I'm not just talking shit. There we go. There's the receipts on my wall. Oh,
Whoa, dude.
There's the receipts on my wall. So
for that's a dangerous wall right there, guys. It is. That wall is lethal, man.
It is. And even now, when I for my workout, I go to boxing class. I do boxing classes now, dude. So
yeah,
I'm not going to
be a boxer now.
I'm not going to call myself a boxer. But no, to talk about MMA, I remember my very first one, I walked into like a Buffalo Wild Wings one day after. This was after I graduated high school. And I think I saw fucking, I think it was Gray Maynard and Frank Edgar, too. I think that was the very first I think that was the very first fight that I ever saw. And then
that's
I remember, like
being in a threesome your first night out. You know what
dude,
I mean?
Dude, I mean,
that's what hell of an intro to it.
Yeah, bro. And I remember like soon afterwards, I saw fucking Rampage Jackson fights. I saw Rashad Evan fight. I saw Anderson Silva fight. And I was like, these guys are fucking monsters, dude.
Yeah. Well, that was right after the merger. That was right after the merger. So that was about, 07?
No, this was, I started around like, 10?
Oh, that's late, right. You said 2009. 09, 10. Yeah.
Late 2009.
That was around when Lesnar was coming in and kind of him and Mirror was.
Yeah. You know, I remember one of the biggest fights was supposed to be Dan Henderson fucking fighting. What's his dick? And the fight fell through. And that was one of the first
Silva,
fights.
Right?
I think
him and Anderson Silva.
Yeah. I think it was supposed to him and Anderson Silva. And that fight fell through. And that was my very first taste of MMA disappointment. And little do we know how much disappointment we've suffered over the last decade.
Bro, and I've got so many disappointments from before that too.
Yeah, dude. So
like there's been some that, you know, that's been the one thing enough, you know, and you know, that's our background. That's where we're from or whatever enough, you know, sucking each other off. But you know, this is if you guys wanting to have, you know, come have a little bit of where we'll talk about the cards. We'll talk about a little bit of MMA knowledge. Mm-hmm. You know, we're here to, you know, make jokes and we're here to fucking, you know, shoot the shit.
The same thing. Well, you know what? I can't say the same thing.
And to give you guys information, but at the same time, just this is silly. You know what I mean? Like nothing.
We do this for fun. We don't get paid. Yeah. We do this because Andy and I love talking to each other.
Even if we did get paid, it'd be the same thing. It's just, you know, this is a passion for me and I love doing it. But at the same time, I love poking fun. And, you know, me and Ethan, we really have a way of riling each other up sometimes. You know, and
you can't wait. We can't wait to hear that. No, but I mean, it's just like if you ever hear me on Talk to Kiki podcast, it's the same thing. There'll probably be a little bit less gay jokes and dick jokes. Although Andy and I love dick jokes, so you will still hear.
Yeah,
still
I don't. Have you heard? Had you heard yourself speak? So I don't know about that.
I mean, bro, have you ever really listened to my Talk to Kiki podcast? I got a clip, like a segment. Like,
I used to listen to every time you guys put an episode out,
bro. Like so, like literally, I'm gonna start clipping like the pieces in the.
But I haven't listened to one in a while, to be honest with you.
No, that's fine. I'm gonna clip the episodes where like I talk to him, like, yo, so like, you know, what is it with like this trans guy? Is he gonna like fucking take his dick out and fucking stick it in her, or like what's going on? Like, oh, he's got a big dick. Like, yeah, he looks like he has a big dick, right? We talk about dicks all the time.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, my other host, Matt, he's part of the LGBTQ community. So, you know, I get to learn a little bit as much as I get to make fun of some of them. So
multicultural, you get to go. Plus, I do. Span.
Yeah. I do.
And we do that here too. We go everywhere. I mean, UFC's international. We'll talk about, I mean, there's everything here. You know, we'll not shy away from anything. And if there's something that you guys want us to talk about, write in, you know what I mean? We have, you know, MMAformMarks@gmail.com. That, you know, you could send emails there.
You have MMA for Marks on Instagram, correct?
And on Instagram too. We're also on Facebook, YouTube. So I mean, we'll have everything. Yep. You know, when we put this out, we'll have everything in the you know, we'll have all the links and stuff in the descriptions for you guys to go check out.
Yeah, we'll definitely,
like any other podcast should have, but we'll have that down there. And then, you know, we'll also be working on putting out some little shorts and stuff. I might be working more on that than Ethan because he's got a lot of other projects going on too. But we'll be working on putting some shorts and stuff out. We want to try to do a little bit of content creation too.
Yeah, our biggest stuff.
You know what I mean?
Not just talk
about UFC once a week or whatever. We want to try to really have, you know, eventually.
I love watching Bellator. We love watching ONE FC. You're not just going to hear UFC stuff. You're going to hear a bunch of other promotions. Like I said, ONE FC. You won't hear us hardly talk about PFL unless we're talking shit about. Be honest.
Exactly. Let's be
We're
honest.
Just gonna talk it shit about PFL.
You know what I mean?
We don't watch PFL.
Yeah,
but you will hear us talk about one. You will hear us talk.
Like if you want to hear about how Dana White is like, you know, denying fighters, or you want to hear like ESPN's cut of like the fighter pay discussion. Go over there. You'll find that there. You want to hear about how Dana White's taking steroids and fucking telling John Jones to move fights from Nevada to California? You're in the right fucking place.
Yeah, okay? For real, dude.
That's what we're talking about. So, and we'll talk about, you know, whatever too. But like I said, I'm everyone else on the, a lot of people in the MMA media, you know, they seem to be kind of afraid to like make fun or whatever. You know, it's just like, it's fine. It's like, whatever, dude, just
like,
fuck it.
Like my, just, like my former from the other podcast before he fucked me over, my other friend said, he's like, you know, if you start getting like letters and notices from actual real legitimate places, it means that they're paying attention to you. It means that you're doing something right and people give a shit. So that's what we're shooting for. So for now, we're the Wild Wild West of MMA podcasts. We're shooting for to be told to be decent. And even if we are told, we'll see how that works out. I mean,
we're shooting.
Yeah, that's basically the fucking objective, dude.
Hey, and fuck that guy.
Hey, so fuck that guy. Fuck that one guy.
Fuck that one guy. Well, with that being said, enough wanking. Let's go ahead and jump into this.
Let's get into it. Let's get into it. Let's give them a taste of what's in store for the next little bit.
Yeah, let's give them the full. Let's give them the full Peter. The full Monty. So you know, this last weekend, you know, a huge card. You know, you got Oliveira versus Islam Makhachev.
Yeah.
And look, my personal take on it was, you know, Islam is getting fast tracked here. He's Khabib's boy. You know what I mean? They're putting him in.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting Khabib's basically like, you know, Dana, I'll come back and fight Dana, make my boy champion Dana. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's what's going on in the background. I feel like
he's fucking roly-poly out there.
Like, he's like pulling a Dagestani knife in Dana's back. He's just like, you know what I mean? Like, to fucking.
I promise Putin will not fuck you when he kills America.
Dude. He's like threatening like nuclear war against the UFC.
Bro, it would not shock me in the least if every meeting Khabib has with Dana White, there's fucking guys standing inside and outside the doors with fucking AKs. Guaranteed. And like Dana White's probably got some big muscle bound fucking steroid fuck.
Just one guy.
With a fucking samurai sword or some shit because he loves samurai swords.
No, he's got a Mac 10. So yeah, I mean, look, yeah, I don't know.
I didn't expect it to go down the way it did, dude. Honestly, I expected it to be far more competitive. I expected Oliveira to do more in terms of his. I expected him to do way more, to be way more effective with his striking. I definitely expected that. I expected more leg kicks. I expected more body kicks. I expected more elusiveness. And he stood there. And he lost in the stand-up game to fucking Makhachev. He lost in the stand-up game. He got tapped out. And although Oliveira is not a god of wrestling, he's still a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. He's still got submissions in his arsenal. He's still got wins via submission. So it's not like he's inept on the ground. And he didn't put up nearly as much of a fight as I thought he could have. And perhaps I'm still underestimating Makhachev, you know, because he is great. But I didn't expect him to maybe not look as great as much as Oliveira looked that bad. That's my takeaway from the fight, dude.
Yeah, that's not a bad assessment. I think, and I agree with you and disagree with you in one instance. Well, one, my first takeaway from the fight was in the first round, there was a moment where I think Oliveira decided, let me try, you know, let me go, because there was that moment where Islam went to take him down and they started, and Oliveira just went into wrestling mode. It almost seemed like instead of trying to stay on the feet mode. And it's, of course, he lost the exchange. Look, the truth is him and his team can fly anybody they want, everybody they can find that they're willing to pay and could come in. There's no one that they could fly in and have Oliveira train with intensively with for the next 2 years to get on the level of Islam Makhachev's wrestling. That's just the facts of life. Probably. Okay. That's just the truth. So no matter what he prepared for, and honestly, maybe his camp made a mistake in over preparing for the wrestling. They should have focused on the stand-up, like you said. Mm-hmm. You know, that definitely I 100% agree with that. That should have been there, but Makhachev gave him no space for anything like that. You know what I mean? And it just wasn't.
It was pressure. You could definitely say that it was a lot of forward pressure for Makhachev.
100%.
He was constantly in his face, constantly on the offensive in some capacity. Oliveira looked awkward. He probably felt awkward in there. He couldn't get timing, get a rhythm. That's all Makhachev. That's all game planning. That's all that's Javier Mendez and Khabib for sure, well, probably.
And going back to your point about jiu-jitsu, yes, he's a degree. We've seen plenty of third degrees. We've seen a lot of jiu-jitsu is not a standardized thing across the board. There is not a like, hey, it's not even like almost like karate. I mean, you do have it, but you know what I'm saying.
There's levels to your black belt. No doubt.
Exactly. There's 100% levels to the black belt. And I'm not saying anything about Oliveira's black belt. But what I'm saying is jiu-jitsu black belts, when it comes to almost any jiu-jitsu black belts, except for the very highest of the elite that have the experience of dealing with high-level wrestlers, when you bring in high-level wrestling, it almost every time will null and void. Because, one, jiu-jitsu is based off of a lot of openings and a lot of weight placements and a lot of gaps and a lot of, hey, let me hurry up and grab this, let me move here. Wrestling is about putting, especially the Dagestani version of wrestling, it's about putting that pressure. Those guys, it's not that they're so strong, it's they know how to hold you down. They know how to hold you down so you cannot fucking move and get into shrimping positions, so you can't get into positions to go for an armbar or a triangle or even a butterfly guard or anything like that.
They're in
total control. And so they've really mastered that. And so when you're on the top down position from that, 90% of whatever you were thinking of doing is out the window. At this point, you just really need to be trying to get back up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that, and then that creates a sense of fear.
I was very surprised. I was pretty shocked when he pulled guard early in the round too. And in round one, he pulled guard. And I was like, why would you pull guard? Like
that's what I mean.
That took me aback. I was like, that's not a good sign. You're pulling guard.
To me, the fight was lost in the first 2-3 minutes in that exchange right there. That to me, those first 2-3 minutes right there is where Oliveira lost the fight.
Yeah.
Because it set up how the fight went for the rest of the time until he eventually got squeezed out.
Yeah. Bro, when that happened, I'm sure Makhachev's confidence just fucking shot through the roof. It shot through the roof like fucking Connor's fucking testosterone on the fucking.
He basically got a little side kiss from Khabib. You know what I mean? He was like,
he got a little tug.
Just like, fucking, woohoo! A little tug. You know what I mean? He was just like, they were just, you know, and it's just, and the other thing too is like, hey, Khabib, get the fuck out of the ring, bro. Like this is his. You're over, bro. Coaches stay on the sidelines. You know what I'm saying? Like somebody,
I chuckled at the end when he
picked. No, I did too. I'm just giving him shit. But I think, you know, somebody need to have a discussion with his team. You know, be like, hey, coach, you know, you want the belt or what? Well, I mean, come on, you know, would that hey, how savage would that be if Khabib came back and just it was like Islam went on a like 10 fucking streak and it could be just come back and squish.
Bro, that would be fucking incredible.
Because you know he could.
That would be absolutely incredible. Don't mind me with my lights on my side.
No, you're good. You know, look, I made a lot of jokes and stuff about Makhachev and it's just being funny. But at the end of the day, Makhachev, his skill's undeniable. He's a champion. I didn't want him to be the champion. And the reason is because I don't believe he's super marketable. And I just see him as being Khabib's like little puppet. And it's so to me, I just don't, where's the big fights? What is he has,
you know,
his name other than Khabib's name. I don't see that.
And but he's a booking man.
In the UFC, I'm like, man, I've got like 10 other guys in the fucking top 10 that I could build things.
His own marketability.
This guy will not build anything.
First off, at least he speaks English. Oliveira hardly, if at all, speaks English. So at least there's some, even if it's broken.
I prefer listening to Oliveira speak English than.
Nah, I don't know about that. But no, in all seriousness, bro, in all seriousness, Makhachev's stock rises on the principle of the fact that he took out who many consider the greatest, what's it called? The weight class. Lightweight. One of the greatest lightweights of all time.
The greatest lightweight of all time. Oliveira.
Well, people like fucking Michael Bisping are saying that he's better than Khabib.
Fuck Michael Bisping. That's insane.
You heard that, right? He said it was no competition. Oliveira was better than Bisping.
I love Oliveira. I love the story. I love everything about him. He's a fucking awesome fighter. I've been watching him since the early UFC days when he first got in.
Yeah.
When he came over from Pancrase or Valley Tudo, whatever they were, the version that they were doing early back then.
Yeah.
He was a guy who came in and would win and would lose, would win and would lose. And then he would win, then he would lose.
Yeah.
Win. He was always that guy.
Yeah.
And then, so to see, he was a Michael Bisping. Michael Bisping was the exact same fucking way.
I mean, he was way better than Michael.
Yes. But the cadence of the career. And then,
well, no, no, I would just the belt. Michael Bisping didn't have, he had the run with the belt. He fucking got, he got to the belt.
He got to the belt. Bisping was this guy where you'd so be like,
Bisping's defense
close, but then he would lose to Sonnen. He would lose to these top guys. And that's why I'm saying Oliveira was kind of close to the same way. And then he got the belt and he was like, oh, he's the people.
So Bisping's defense.
You know what I mean? Islam is like the corporation. All right. Khabib is Vince McMahon and Islam is like fucking Shane O'Mac, right? Coming in and fucking taking the belt from like Stone Cold, who's Oliveira. You know what I mean?
Like,
Oliveira,
give him far more respect than that analogy. I give him far more respect.
It's just an analogy. I'm not saying, obviously.
I agree with Bisping's point to the fact that Oliveira has gone through everything.
Hezbollah is China, though.
Huh?
Hezbollah is China.
Oh, fuck.
The ninth wonder. Crash and burn. Go ahead.
Anyway, I agree with Bisping's point that Khabib didn't go through the level of competition that Oliveira has been through. And Oliveira has wiped out almost everybody. But it's the way that Khabib was, it's the way he did it. The way he did it was undefeated. It was impeccable. And I mean, you can go on different avenues with this. I don't want to spend it because we're deviating away from where we need to be. But at the end of the day, what I was trying to say initially was that Makhachev, no matter what we say, he is one of the greatest lightweights of all time. Oliveira is. He took out one of the greatest lightweights of all time with fairly easy. Let's just keep it on. He did it fairly easy. And like I said, many people were placing him in that Khabib territory, like up there in that upper, that highest echelon of history. And he took him out fairly easily. And it is something to be had that he is the premier protege of Khabib for sure. But I guess now we're going to see the trajectory. He's younger than Khabib was when he got the belt. He's got better skills.
My protege, what are you talking about, bro? He is Khabib. Khabib 2.0. He is the better, younger, faster, stronger. He is like, they were like, oh, this guy's good. Let's go back to Mother Russia and assemble this dude in the fucking lab. That's what fucking Islam.
Like some Rocky movie. It's like a fucking Rocky movie.
He's actually who, Islam is actually Drago's son. A lot of people don't know that, but
without the roids.
Without the roids
that we know of, you know, he could be special Russian fucking dope. You know how it is.
I am sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, look, it was a great fight. It was a good fight.
And, I wouldn't call that a great fight. I would not call that a.
I mean,
it served its purpose. It wasn't boring. It wasn't lame.
It was. It was. I don't think Islam. I think he did a good job of not just staying in one position and hanging out like he tends to do, because he does tend to do that. You know what I mean? Say whatever. The Islam armies out there, they're just like, oh, fucking, you know, you're just saying that because you don't like wrestling. Fuck you. I've been watching MMA for a long fucking time. I know what good grappling is, and I know what good wrestling is. Okay, that was pretty good grappling and wrestling. There was a lot of like, it could have been, you know, like, because we wanted to. This is the other thing. The expectation was we want to see Oliveira stand and bang and knock this guy out. That's the truth of it.
Yep.
So when you don't see that and you see grappling, you go, fuck, I don't want to watch. That's what I mean.
Both the casual fan does. You and I don't do that. Angel does.
I do it too. I look at it and I go, man, fucking really? Like, we're gonna sit there, you know what I mean?
But I don't mind.
I go back and watch it again. I'm like, okay, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, he's mind. Like,
I mean, it's not one FC fucking combat fucking submission games or one
it's
FC.
It's not entertaining, and that's why I didn't want Islam as champ.
I don't mind. It's part of the game. I always say it's part of the game, bro. And I know Oliveira practiced his wrestling, I'm sure, but like you said, that Dagestani wrestling is that next level, you know, the type of shit you can only get by fucking going to Dagestan and being in fucking war-torn fucking poor communities where fucking suicide bombs are around and shit and whatnot, you know.
Hey, you know, it is what it is. The UFC passed the torch. That's Islam's I don't see a lot of guys beating him, you know, not right now.
Let's go down the list. Let's pull up UFC. I love this. This is something that I love
doing. I like doing this too. Yeah,
we love doing this.
This is also a constant thing in the show. If you guys are wondering, the unprofessionalism of not having a list pulled up before. Yes, we do that almost every episode.
Well, you know,
it has now become a staple of the episodes to where If we do it, we're trying to be weird. So
if anybody who listens to me,
if we actually prepared, it would be like, whoa.
It's the same way, bro. Whenever we try to prepare, we pair a little bit more with Talk the Kiki, but I'm always like that where we go on side tangents and we start looking up shit because we don't remember names and shit because we're watching fucking 20 different shows and shit.
That's why it's a podcast and not a telly.
Okay, so Makhachev has beat Oliveira. Does Makhachev survive Poirier's power? That two? Dot, 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 dot. Awkward.
Wait, what?
Jesus fucking Louises.
I'm over here trying to look at it, and you're asking me questions. I thought you were.
I'll link you then, motherfucker. God damn it! Here.
All right. Well, then do that.
Private chat. Look at the private chat on the right hand side of StreamYard. There we go. UFC.com/rankings. Ba bam.
Why don't you just put on the notes? We use the notes for everything.
Ay, fuck me.
Why? I mean, put it in the chat. I'm just saying the notes.
Yeah, I'll put it in the notes too, then, cocksucker. Here we go. There we go. There, but in both places. Pick one and pull it up, buddy.
You didn't even, well, all right.
It's right there. I put it in the notes.
So is the private chat different from like the public chat? This is good to figure out on air.
Yeah, basically. Basically, private chat is where we can like talk shit. We're like, oh, you look like a fucking wanker and shit. But then the other people can't see that. But then, say, for example, if you're on public chat, because again, you can go live with StreamYard. You can basically like get comments like, oh, like Andy looks like a dweeb. And then like we could write in the private chat like, well, that guy looks fucking like he's a 60-year-old virgin.
Yeah.
You know? But then if we write that in public chat, then, you know, we may get a bit canceled because, you know, 2022 and sensitive pussy motherfuckers are out there. So,
yeah.
You know,
I'll let you know,
you can talk shit about us on public chat when we go public at some point, but we will talk shit about you.
Yeah. I look like a dweeb and, you know, you look like
insert Spanish joke. Bam.
I don't know. You got a Bruno Mars type of haircut going on with the Klingon fucking beard, and I fucking
Klingon beard. Hello. You have the rankings up, motherfucker.
I got them, man. Let's all go. Right.
So look, this is my Poirier. That's a good matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Poirier's got wrestling.
No,
again, it's not.
No,
it's not.
No. Let's be wrestling. Honest. All right, you want to? Should I? You want to fluff it or should? Let's be honest. You want me to be real?
Let's be honest.
Let's be real.
We gotta be.
Okay, Poirier is gonna die. Gaethje is gonna put up one hell of a fight, but I think we're gonna see that wrestling he's been talking about. There's a reason why he hasn't been using it very much.
I would love to see Gaethje.
Benil Dariush. I love
Benil. We'll talk about him later. But
we'll skip over. Michael Chandler. No, bro.
Probably not.
Rafael Faviz, Dos Anjos. So I'll stop. We could go
there's
back
no
to Dariush.
There's no point.
There's no point. That's my point. That's exactly why I even said what I said.
Bro. Conor McGregor. Wait. Hold on. Oh, never mind. I figured it out because there was like it must.
Go ahead. It's okay. Go ahead.
No, it must have been 1-1 because I was like, how the fuck is
Conor at 13? Talk about
how is Tony Ferguson ranked?
So I was gonna happy, say, I'm sure.
Like no, Conor went down. But Tony Ferguson
make you happy to see that he has a down arrow by his name too.
A little bit, but I'm looking at some of these names. I'm like, well, how did everybody go up? I was like, oh, because they had his champion at the time. So everybody
Conor is one of Ethan's favorite fighters, along with Hezbollah. And
Hezbollah's not a fucking fighter. He's a fucking midget.
Those two.
He's a fucking midget.
His Hall of Fame.
Bro, I wish somebody would fucking punt him. I want him to get fucking punted out of a fucking airplane without a parachute.
Who's punting him? Jack Black?
No, fucking
Baxter?
No, who the fuck is the
Byron Baxter? The bad man!
Yeah.
The bad guy, Byron Baxter!
Fuck that midget.
Hey, man. Midget,
that's offensive. He's a little person. Fuck him.
Wow, man. You know, you're a real up and down kind of guy. You know what I mean? You're all about, you know, opportunity and everything. And then this guy comes along. You're like, no, not him. Not these guys. They're excluded.
Yeah.
Out of the zone.
Yeah. You know, if I want to see midgets fight, I'll go watch Mexican wrestling.
Oh, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is that where...
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom? Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You'll find great midget fights. And I bet you any of those motherfuckers that are those midgets in Mexico, they would kick Azbula's ass.
You know where else you'd find it? I know where there's a couple that will kick Hasbula's ass. In fucking Nebraska, bro. Nebraska, where they got some of that dark mud at, bro. There's a couple fucking events out there, I guarantee you.
I mean, Hasbula's just going to take
a couple. Hey, there's a couple wrestling events, if you know what I'm saying, underneath the tent somewhere. You can find a couple. You can find a couple little people.
I mean, sure, like I said, Hasbula's shooting up, but, you know, still. If it was a fist fight, bro, they would kick his fucking ass.
We'll talk about Hasbula after in a minute.
Now to figure out why the rank of everybody's gone up, but you know,
yeah. Look, Benil Dariush, I agree with him 100%. UFC doesn't want to see him with a belt. They don't want to see him with the fight because he might be the only other guy who's more boring than Makhachev. So let's just be honest here.
I love
Dariush as a fighter, but as far as like you
I enjoy him in Gamero.
He's a good guy. He's a cool guy. You know what I mean?
But I enjoy his fight with Gamero. I mean, we're skipping the co-main. I guess we're going to go to the third fight, which was him versus Matias Gamrot.
No, I'm just talking about him as a potential. I didn't say that. I'm just talking about him as a potential opponent for Makhachev. You know what I mean? I'm just saying I still don't believe he has the skills to squish Makhachev. So.
Give me Gaethje, then give me Poirier. And then if he could survive those two, then he can fucking smash everyone in the division.
I'm kind of like with Poirier, though. I'm like, you know, what are you doing? Just go back up to 170, dude. Like, go. I don't know why. What, like.
Shut up.
I don't know where Poirier is going. But anyway, yeah, I'd like to see him. Poirier would be a good fight, but honestly, I'd love to see him against Gaethje, and I'd like to see him against Dariush.
You know who I want to see? We'll talk about it.
That's what should happen. You know
who I want to see? I want to see fucking Dustin Poirier versus Bilal Muhammad.
Why? Do you hate Bilal Muhammad that much?
No, I like him.
Damn, bro. That would be a fucking dust up. Damn.
Angel hears that one.
Oh man, that guy would get dusted hard. Well, all right.
Let's move on to the co-main.
Yeah, please. I told you we're gonna run through the time for sure.
It's already 36 minutes, dude. We haven't even gotten to all the shit we're gonna talk about.
This is a huge main event. You know, Aljamain Sterling, TJ Dillashaw.
I was rooting for Aljo.
I mean, if you're rooting for TJ. Okay. You're right. Good luck at Slytherin tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like, who the fuck is rooting for TJ? But okay. I'm sure there's a few of you out there.
All those white country motherfuckers, bro. I guarantee
you. I don't even think they're rooting for TJ, bro. He pretty much shit the bed, you know. When you get caught roiding among even the whiteys don't like
him. He's not with Ludwig no more.
I'm telling you, he is the Lance Armstrong of MMA. He literally,
dude. Serious question.
He's gonna be the guy who's gonna be the asshole for forever. And when he's gone, no one's gonna be like, "Damn, that guy's gone."
Bro, but serious question. Yeah. I remember this recently. What happened to Dwayne Ludwig? He's not with him anymore, right?
No,
he's not with Ben.
No, Ludwig. Yeah, he's still Grasshopper. Yeah,
is he still? I didn't see.
Yeah,
did I not see him? I didn't see him. I guess
Killshaw. Yeah, still. Dwayne Bang.
How about like, bro? Dwayne Ludwig hasn't done shit.
He wasn't in the car. You were saying he wasn't in the corner. I didn't even notice.
I didn't know. I was wondering, was he there? I don't know. He had to be.
Yeah, of course he was there. I'm sure he was there.
I want to look it up now because it's like,
that would be a huge thing. If they weren't together, we'd know about that. That would be a huge.
I haven't heard of him since that suspension whatsoever. And I was like, you have no other writer?
After the suspension, because fucking what's his face went on, and he was all just like, I tell these guys, hey, Grasshopper. Oh, be careful what you put in your body. You know, fucking Dwayne. He's fucking hippie.
Goddamn. At least he's not Pat Barry.
Yeah. Okay. Come on. Let's talk about this for a second. Hey, Dwayne Ludwig. You didn't know, huh? You were unaware, huh? You didn't know your boy was on some juice. Okay. Sure.
Wow, TJ. We've gone 60 rounds and you're hardly fucking breathing, Harvey. Like, what were you? What did you do last night?
He was on Rogan. He was on those podcasts when he was like, TJ is just, he was there enforcing the whole thing of TJ being so clean. He's juicing. the fuck out of here, bro. Like,
yeah,
that guy, he should have been suspended just as long as that guy fucking that guy cut. Like, that's one thing Connor called definitely on that season of Tough. That guy cut and run from TJ so quick. He was just like, I got it, you know.
I got a business to run. What do you want me to do?
That's fair.
So anyway, so Aljamain, you know, I honestly, I've never enjoyed one of his fights, especially more recently.
I enjoyed a lot of his
fights more recently than this one. Watching him, and I think it was because I don't like Dillashaw so much, watching him just beat Dillashaw when Dillashaw didn't even do anything.
He beat his ass like Dillashaw called him the hard R.
Yes, he fucking went on. Dude, he was just like, the whole time I was watching it with like the sound down, and I was just like, yes. Fucking dude, he was just like,
it's for head my ancestors that you fucked over.
I was like, yes. I was like, don't stop this shit, dude. Let this shit go. And I think honestly, the entire MMA like community felt that way because all this stuff happened. To see him cheat, see him
except Peter Yan
come back, and then to get the title shot. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, this American psycho motherfucker is gonna come back here and get a title shot all of a sudden, and then that happens to him.
You have to, the shoulder, no doubt played into it. It's like 100%. It's a greater version when Pacquiao fought Floyd, like, and Pacquiao was compromised. You know, at least Pacquiao could still throw punches and he still could, still be somewhat competitive. But, you know, with Dillashaw, he was not competitive whatsoever because of that shoulder. And props to him at the end of the day. I don't know if it's because of the roids or because of the fact he's actually really tough, but that's still a gutsy performance regardless to be able to fight with going in with a blown shoulder. And I definitely agree with his apology at the end because, you know, he went in this knowing he was compromised, knowing he wasn't at 100% and wasn't going to give 100%, not 100% effort, but like wasn't going to give 100% showing because of that. All the shit that he talked, you know, it looks really bad. And he definitely, somebody that could have been competitive with Aljo, didn't get that shot. And that is kind of a little bit of a kick in the dick when you really think about it. I mean, if you look at the people from
Aljo, at the same time, I agree with you, not to cut you off, but listen, I've seen a lot of people also say too, you know, well, the commission shouldn't let him fight, or he should have been honest about his.
They shouldn't have.
No, that's bullshit. Listen, this guy, TJ Dillashaw, regardless of what I think about him, right? Just speaking outside the box, the guy he paid for his trainers, he paid for sparring partners, he paid for his camp, he paid for the 8 weeks, six weeks, however long it took. He paid $50,000, $60,000, $100,000 to do a training camp. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're not talking about a guy who's going to go and fucking negotiate terrorist fucking things. All right. We're talking about a sport, a game. All right. Mm-hmm. If this guy wants to pay this money, if this guy wants to go to the commission, he was obviously healthy enough to pass checks. Okay. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's fine. And then he gets into the ring and it doesn't work out. It's egg on his face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I hear what you're saying. Someone else could have the opportunity, but fuck it, dude. Now Aljo gets to be you know what I mean? Like, I don't see a downside of it. And if these guys who are professional fighters, who are putting up the money, who are putting up the camps, they want to fucking go and fight, who are we to fucking be like, just like Anderson Silva and all these guys still fight? Who are we to be like, you guys shouldn't be fighting or whatever like that? The old UFC, that was one thing from the old UFCs and old prides, the tournament-based style. You'd fucking go into a fight with a broken finger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I get it. It's not the same. I'm not saying we should be that. But I'm just saying, if the guy wants to, if he makes a decision, he's healthy enough to walk, pass the medical checks. And like I said, hey, these doctors, the doctors that are on these cards and stuff, don't get me wrong, they're getting paid by the commission. You know what I mean? They're getting paid to put fights on. That's the entire point of the commission is not for health and safety. The entire point of the commission is to put on the fight.
Make sure the fight goes on.
To make sure the fight goes on. So it's
only if you know if the fight can't go on.
A lot of, And that's why you have so many of these things happen. This happens a lot. And we see a lot because there's so many cards now, but I mean, it used to happen all the time where guys would be like, I'd be like, a week ago, I popped my shoulder out. I dislocated my shoulder. I should have pulled out, but I needed the money. And that's the other thing too. You don't know where these guys are financial wise. So it's like, they go through these camps, they do all this stuff. And what they're not going to be able to fight and pay their people.
Mm-hmm.
That's, there is a business side of this that sometimes I think,
It gets lost in translation for sure.
But I definitely, you know, Aljo capitalized on it perfectly.
Yeah. What's next one?
You know, it's a good question.
I liked, you know something? I liked what
Well, hold on here. We've got breaking news to talk about. We kind of already know what, I mean, what maybe not what's next, but
I was going to say, before we get into it's not breaking news, but
it is breaking news. UFC, they're possibly dropping, there's multiple sources reporting that Henry Cejudo versus Aljamain is being targeted for, I think it's like UFC 185 or something like that. That could be the next, basically the next fight could be Henry Cejudo coming back, or 284. Yeah.
I don't, you know, truth be told, I like Ariel Helwani's idea better. I don't know if you heard his idea, but his idea was basically, let's put O'Malley versus fucking Vera in a main event somewhere, and that'll be the number the definitive number one contenders fight for Aljo. Because the reality of it is, truth be told,
Let him fight Henry in the meantime.
Davishvili, honestly, should be the fucking guy, the next guy up. But that's his partner. That's his training partner. He wants to drop the belt and let Davishvili fight for the vacant belt rather than.
Listen, look, you don't have a lot of. Here's the thing with Vera. Build the fight up with Vera and have him in O'Malley. You don't have a lot of fucking. You don't have a lot of ammo here in this division. Okay. Yeah. So you don't have a lot of fights left with Aljo. You know, I mean,
until Corey Sandhagen's a good one, and that's it. Sandhagen, Vera, Davishvili.
But yeah, I think Davishvili's not happening. Vera could happen.
Yeah.
Vera, O'Malley. Those are the ones. But Sandhagen is coming off a loss, right? So he's not, you know, he's not necessarily out there.
I named Sandhagen because he's got the skills out of all these guys.
100%. Oh, I mean, he's got more than the skills
to fuck with.
He could fucking walk in there and KO Aljamain in the first 30 seconds, and we all be like, well, that's fucking...
That's the way the cookie crumbled.
That's the way the cookie crumbles. But I don't think Sandhagen's getting that fight. You know what I mean? O'Malley, I like the idea of O'Malley versus Vera. That is a good idea of a fight.
Yeah.
Although I'm not entirely mad if they book them both separately to try to build a little more.
They'll probably put fucking O'Malley versus Davishvili or Vera versus Davishvili.
The thing with Aljo versus Cejudo is Cejudo could win.
I believe that.
And
I hate Cejudo too. He's one of those guys I've never liked.
And if you get Cejudo winning, you don't know. The UFC's like, this motherfucker, you know, what are we going to do with this guy? So, I don't know how willing the UFC is going to be willing to make that match. But, hey, if they did make that fight and Aljamain, you know, was able to
See, but, you know, if he wins – he's not going to get respect because they're going to be like, oh, Cejudo was out for 2 years. He beat a guy that he's moving up in weight.
Yes, I think so. I think he will. I think he would get enough respect. You get enough respect definitely to put him over Cejudo. And then if you did that, then yeah, you could do O'Malley versus Vera, which would be a good hold.
That would be absolutely fantastic. And that fight should most definitely be a 5-round fight. That's something else that they mentioned on the Ariel show is that it should be a 5-round fight. And I definitely agree that it should be a 5-round fight. And so that, and it should not be at the Apex. It should be somewhere in an arena, you know, somewhere. And it should do big fucking numbers because that is a huge fight.
Or it should be in Madison.
No, they're not going to main event Madison Square fucking Garden.
Not main event. They'll co-main.
So they mentioned that. They're like,
who's main eventing? Nobody's main eventing.
Where? For the Madison Square Garden next year? It's
Aljamain versus Cejudo?
No, 284. Who knows? Where is 284?
Are they talking about headlining that? Are they going to headline it?
So here's the breakdown. You can do Cejudo versus Aljo. They would have to. You would have to have a headline for that. But they said, like, here's the
option. You add another.
You can co-main.
Title fight.
You can co-main, what's it called? Vera versus O'Malley. Or you can put them in a fight night and have them main event.
Yeah.
But don't put it in the Apex. Put it in, like, an actual arena somewhere.
There is. I don't know. There is somebody. There is one that is coming up in the rankings that I think everybody should keep their eyes on, and that's Nurmagomedov. He's at 13 right now, but
he's not gonna. By the time he gets to that top five, Aljo will not be champ. I'm confident.
Probably not. You're probably right. But if you look at the top 10 in that division, there's just, like I said, there's not a lot of ammunition for fights. So unless something, you know, things always change, of course. But
yeah, but it's intriguing. This is right this whole fantasy matchmaking is fun.
It's so much fun.
It is.
We have fun with it. Okay, so next, moving on. Next fight, in bantamweight division, we got
Peter. You got screwed. You got fucking screwed.
Peter Yan versus Sean O'Malley.
Yan got screwed.
Yeah, sounds like, looks like Yan got screwed. So yep.
You can go based off of the numbers, but when you look at the story of the fight, and the numbers don't reflect what really happened. I really believe that. And, you know, I bet you anything he won because of the fact that O'Malley did do more damage to him. But in terms of the way the fight played out and progressed, it was Yan's fight. Yan clearly had the octagon control, in my opinion. And he was, I felt, the aggressor. He pushed the pace. And you can disagree because and say O'Malley did, because O'Malley was the one that landed the cleaner shots. No doubt he landed the cleaner shots. But just in the way that things progressed, how tight the rounds were, I think Yan had him. I definitely think Yan lost the first round. Zero doubt. Zero doubt he lost for the first round. And I have zero doubt that he won the second round. I have zero doubt he won that second round. That third round is the biggest question. Back and forth. There were some major shots that O'Malley landed. The crowd was super into it. Super into O'Malley.
I think Yan had better cage control in that round.
I agree. And I would agree with that too.
I just think, yeah.
I agree with
that. Yeah. Yan, it's just a classic case of fucking Yan got robbed.
Yeah, Yan got robbed.
That's just what it is. I mean, there's really no other way to say it. O'Malley gave it away.
Bro, O'Malley's face at the end was like, holy shit, I won. He looked like fucking, what's his face? What's it called?
He just keeps dudding out, doesn't he?
He looks like that guy from the boys.
Something that always happens.
He looks like that guy from The Boys, bro, where he's like,
wait, who?
The main character, the blonde fuck. And you know that meme? The meme that they always have where he's like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. And everybody starts clapping, whatever the fuck. That's what O'Malley looked like when he fucking won. And then he tried to play it off. He's like, I'm just taking it all in. I can't believe it.
Yeah, I know. He was like,
he played it off cool as fuck, but you know.
He's just thinking in his head the whole time. He's like, fuck, I just lost. That's crazy.
Yeah, he won.
That's what I'm saying. He keeps
you can't tell me he didn't get when he walked up to the fucking referee and the referee was holding his hand.
Chris Moutinho fight, he was supposed to smoke this dude. This kid wound up taking him into this fucking war.
Yep.
Then he gets in the fucking – he gets to fight fucking Vera, right?
Yep.
Then fucking the whole, oh, I didn't lose. Then he wasn't a loser. Then he was undefeated still. That was great.
Okay.
Then he goes to fight Pedro Munhoz. Then there's controversy there.
Yep.
Now we go to fight Yan. And now we're
more
fucking
controversy.
Now we're in the fucking controversy fucking pool, dude.
O'Malley, no doubt, has top five skill.
Sure.
He was in that fight.
He's top 10.
No, top five. Top five.
He can compete with everybody in the top five.
Yeah. He competed with Yan.
Top 10 is still top five. I'm just saying.
Well, he's easily top 10, but dude, I think he could compete at minimum top. Bro, yeah, no. I think he's definitely top five. He's got top five talent. He would not get starched. The only person I could see getting starched is Davishvili. Davishvili might starch him.
I was about to, bro, you pulled that right out of my fucking head. I was about to say.
Yeah, Davishvili is the only guy that
I remember Davishvili.
He's competitive with all these other guys.
Tell me right now what Davishvili would use this motherfucker. Bro, you would grab that little purple headed, you know.
Yeah, he would be competitive with all the other guys. Zero doubt. He hung in with the fucking guy who was one of the boogeymen of the division before the bullshit with Aljo happened. And you know what's wild? I saw Ariel tweeted the pay-per-view. It's like what an amazing a sad reality for Peter Yan. Peter Yan, had he not thrown that knee against Aljo, was easily dominating Aljo in that first fight, right? Had he not thrown that knee, he would have won the fight probably. He would have not rematched Aljo. And Lord knows what would have happened. Instead, he loses his belt. He rematches Aljo. Aljo wins clean against him. And he gets screwed against Yan. He's now lost three straight fights as a result. And all of it could have been avoided if he didn't throw that fucking knee, dude. Like, what a wild reality check. So,
yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just at the end of the day, it's just one of those things like where I, you know, the UFC keeps trying to set this guy up and He just, you know, it just doesn't exactly happen how they keep trying to orchestrate it. So,
yeah,
it's just one of those things where it's like you keep trying to reproduce Connor and it's just not going to fucking happen. Even O'Malley, he's so cringy how he's just like, I feel like with another win or two, I'll be like on Connor level stardom. Like,
but Connor's,
you really feel that way, dude? Like, you really think that
these fucking hipster kids, bro? The same kids that like Sean O'Malley, the guy, are the kids that like Jake Paul and all those other motherfuckers that are like into the dude.
Bro, Jake Paul is 1,000 times bigger than Sean O'Malley.
He is.
But
there are people
in this country who don't even know who he is. Never even heard of Sean O'Malley. Never heard of him, not one time. There's so many people. There's so many more people than not that have never heard of him. And there's so many more people who have heard of like Jake Paul.
I'm just saying the type of fans that Jake Paul has are the same type of fans
in the MMA world for sure. And you know what I mean? Yeah, in combat sports world. I'm talking like overall popularity, like compared to
Conor
McGregor.
I'm not talking about pop culture. Conor McGregor transcends pop culture. Sean O'Malley is nowhere near that.
Right.
Jake Paul, on the other hand,
transcends pop culture. Yeah. So,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like they're trying to even O'Malley, you know, he's like he's trying to come off as like I'm this. But you're not that. You're still on the come up. To me. You know what I mean? Like you're where what's a good like comparison? Like O'Malley is I don't know, he's just such a clown sometimes. Hard for me to fucking compare him to.
I just want to play the Smash, dude. And I was hoping Jan would, and credit to O'Malley, he didn't get smashed. He didn't get smashed, but he should not have won that fight. I had him losing 29.
Do you think though that Jan should have just like grabbed him and fucking like even more, like I don't know, like is that like the whole thing, like what should he's, but that's just not even Jan's style. Jan's very entertaining.
It's not
what I mean, but Jan
should have pulled a Damian Maia. He should have pulled a Damian Maia or a Tyrone Woodley. Yeah, that's what he should have done, but that's not the way he reacts. And good for him, as a result he's, you know, gonna get his exciting fights. Didn't they win? They won a bonus, didn't they?
It was a good, exciting fight. Definitely.
It was. Zero doubt.
O'Malley definitely delivers on the exciting part, entertaining and all that. Definitely on that side of the house, he's always there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the skill side, of course.
Yeah.
You know, but we'll just see. Okay.
We talked about Dariush. Like I said, I enjoyed that fight with him and Gamrot.
Honestly, it was probably the best fight on the card.
No, it was Jan and O'Malley.
I mean, yeah. Okay. All right. That's fair. But it was second best fight on the card.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. It's one of those things where it's just like, It to me, and the reason why I think I say it's the best fight on the card is because it's, you know, besides Makhachev now, but really, honestly, before this lineup, before the card, if you looked at the card and you asked me, well, who's the most skilled fighter on this card? I'd say Benil Dariush.
I would probably agree with you.
I'd be like, who's the silent assassin? Who's the guy no one wants to fight on this card? Yeah, it's Benil Dariush. Everyone else would be like, oh, it's Islam. I'd be like, no, it's Benil Dariush. He's the guy everyone's been avoiding like the fucking boogeyman. And the UFC continues to put him in fights, and he's just dominating guys. I mean, he's just dominating guys.
He didn't. I don't think he dominated Gamrot.
He dominated Gamrot. Got a fucking decision. Got a 10-8, a 10-9 decision.
Yeah, he got the decision. I'm just saying, though, like, I don't think it was a domination. I think Gamrot did a he definitely showed up, definitely produced. He definitely was competitive, especially in the first round. I definitely thought Dariush lost the first round, in my opinion. Dariush came back in the second round, found his groove, was hitting his stride, and then the third round was all Dariush for sure.
Yeah,
and then the most boring fight of the card.
Yeah,
yeah, Chookagian and Ferro. Good for Ferro, she won. Chookagian is no longer the number one contender in the division. That's also a wonderful thing. In terms of, this is strawweight. Yeah, she dropped 2 places to 3. Ferro is now the number one contender. That sets her up for a fight with Valentina, the goddess Shevchenko. Do we think she has a shot?
Probably. Good luck with it.
Yeah, probably not. Sets her up.
Yeah, I don't. What's her name? Lamb to Slaughter? Is that what her?
All these girls, bro. All these girls except for fucking Andrade, but Andrade has already lost.
Honestly, I think
these girls are
Chookagian. Chookagian was just like, thank God I fucking lost that fight. Like, I'm not fighting that fucking bitch,
dude. Like, you know, it's so wild. Like, I don't even know. First off,
like, honestly, is it really? Is it like, congratulations, you get to fight the champion? Is it even that anymore? It's got to be more like, you know, like, here's the black box. Like, it's a black envelope. You're just like, you've been selected. Hey, you want to represent your fucking, your
volunteer's tribute? You volunteer's tribute? Yeah, dude.
Valentina, I mean, Games, baby.
Well, she's going to get more money than she got. The only thing that you will say is because she is fighting.
No, she won't. She won't.
She's gonna get a little bit more money. Nah. I do think she gets a little bit more. She definitely gets more more notoriety because Valentina definitely brings that to all
of her
fights.
Are you talking about Manon Florat? She's going in. She's taking the fight with Valentina on the same contract, the same 5-5 contract she's on right now. Okay.
She's going to make a little bit in residuals somehow, some way. Right. And she's going to get more notoriety. That's going to help her in the long run, too.
How many of these guys have fought in the UFC and then fucking said, look, who knows what they're doing on the back end, but I'm just saying, yeah. There's been plenty of guys who have done the fights, you know, fought the champion, like, I didn't get anything extra. I fought on my, you know, contract. No one knows who she is. She's in zero position to negotiate nothing.
I'm not saying she's going to get another 20 grand. I'm not saying she's going to get a fat pay raise. She's going to make another little bit somewhere.
You know what's going to happen? Shelby and Dana and all are going to be like, hey, if you make it out of the first round, we'll give you another 100,000.
Definitely not 100,000. They'll probably give her an extra 10,000 per round. She's definitely going to make like 10,000 per round she makes.
Okay. All right. Well, we got to wrap this thing up. My computer's going to die.
How the fuck is your computer going to die? You have a fucking MacBook Air from 2020.
We're over an hour anyway. It's okay. It's all right. We have so much more to talk about.
This is what you
are in store for. We had a long intro and, you know.
Yeah, that's not going to be very common. I agree. I mean, we just wanted to get our feet wet on this platform. We wanted to give you guys an intro in terms of what to expect from MMA for Marks going forward. You're going to get plenty of this content and more in terms of news and speculation and opinions and things of that nature. So this was a great opening salvo to our new time here at W2M Network.
Yeah, dude. If you want to laugh and fart and watch MMA, this is the place to be. This is the channel. This is the show for you. You know what I mean? It's like, we want to, you know, want to be silly or whatever, but at the end of the day, it's just about getting the fights. Enough of the backstage, whatever, you know, this whole last card was fucking banging. We do have a lot more to talk about. Like I said, I want to be working on, be looking forward to us putting out some shorts and stuff. Cause I think that will be something that we could capitalize on as news is coming out rather than having to wait to the weekly episode to talk about it.
Yeah.
There's some things we could wrap on in between there. You know what I mean?
So, guys, be on the lookout for this show. Again, it is going to be available just like all the other shows on the W2M network. It's going to be available wherever you want to listen to your shows. Whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, Amazon, wherever you listen to your podcast, you will definitely find the audio version of that fairly quickly. Now, Andy and I aren't like Matt. We don't do this in real time. We do these pre-recorded. So you're not going to see us live for a little bit. So there'll be a delay in terms of when you see us on YouTube. But you will find us on YouTube. Again, as part of this arrangement, you will have to find the MMA for Marks episode now on the W2M YouTube, where we used to host it on our YouTube. That was part of the agreement. So they're going to be hosting the visual episodes as on their channel. But in any case, we're going to now have a bigger platform with the audio version. I'm looking forward to seeing what the numbers are going to be like for that and seeing how everybody responds to that. And I know, Andy, you don't really do social media. Our big one, as we talked about, is our Facebook page, MMA for Marks, MMA number 4 Marks. Look us up on YouTube. Andy and I, at least I am, I'm always on there. So if you want to join,
I am always on the YouTube channel. I'm always active on there. But yeah, I'm getting back on social media. I've just, you know, taking a little bit of a break since we've not been on either. Yeah. You know, I haven't really had a real need to be on there. You know, it could become a little crazy. But
I mean, I'm huge on social media.
So. I'm blown away that they let you do live broadcasts on this network. I mean, that is wild.
Yeah,
I get you're just like,
I'm linked, bro. Literally, like, I'm linked to our anime Instagram, our the channel's YouTube, the channel's Twitch.
Yeah.
The multiple Twitters.
Yeah, man.
I'm live, and like we're live, and like
you are.
Channels. And we can You're be live if you ever want to be live, Andy. It's easy to set up our page. As a matter of fact, I'll probably setting up our page. We can go live at least on the Facebook page.
Yeah,
and then we can go from there. So
yeah, I'm super down, dude. I'm down to be live. If you're down to be live, you know what I mean. But you're gonna have to really mind your manners. You know, we're gonna have to really
fuck off. Fuck off, mate.
Yeah, I governor. You know, I know that Sasha Frost in there now.
Hey, I tell you what. I tell you what, sir.
Tell me what.
You could take your opinion on my matters, and you can show them up your bum hole. You fucking wanker.
Oh, did you talk to this majesty with that mouth?
We're definitely fucking offending somebody. So let's wrap up. Good. Andy, I know something new that you don't do. We like to leave the episode with plugs. Again, since you don't do social media as of right now, I don't think you have any other plugs besides the Facebook page, right?
Well, just, you know, MMA for Marks, YouTube, Instagram, yeah. Twitter, you know.
Any other ventures where people can find you for anything?
You know, Face Crack, you know, Insta Slam, whatever they are, you know what I mean?
Fentanyl, you know, anyway.
Throw it into the internet and you'll find us there somewhere, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Somewhere out there.
Just real quick, guys, you can follow me on my podcast Instagram at podcast.senpai. You can follow me on Twitter at shostoppa24. You can follow me if you care about anime at all. You can follow me on my anime Instagram at AI_anime24. And we also have we don't really use it as much, but we'll try and get it active again. We have an MMA for Marks Instagram page as well. But regardless of any of my links and any of our future links, they will have a link tree. They'll have different links for anything regarding our podcast, as well as anything of any other links for our side endeavors. So definitely give us a look. Again, shout out to my boy, Matt. I did this all the time on my podcast where I shouted you out, Andy, and MMA for Marks podcast. So I'm going to shout out my boy, Matt, at the Talking Kick podcast on this network as well. Give us a listen. Again, we record every Thursdays and episodes drop soon thereafter. So give us a check out. And guys, I really hope you give this show a try. I really hope if you did give this show a try, you enjoyed this show. And if you do enjoy this show, I can't wait. And I hope you guys stick around for the ride, because you're going to get more debauchery, more fun, more analytics, more laughter, more insight, and just a good escape from life for a little bit with your boy Andy and Ethan. So
yeah, guys, just don't forget, you know, like button, subscribe, you know, follow us,
all that shit, dude.
Well, you know, I appreciate everyone who's still liking and follow us. We still get, you know, almost every other day I'm still getting likes, I'm still getting follows. So you know, guys, feel free to comment too. Let us know exactly what you think. Insult me, insult my mom, insult Ethan, make fun of his hair, make fun of my my homeless look, you know what I mean, of caveman, and you know, just come at me, you know what I mean, throw it at us, you know what I mean. So
we love the banter back and forth. We love interaction, because the more you interact means you give a shit. Like we said, if we get interactions, it means people give a shit enough to want to comment on something, and that's better than hearing jack shit at all. So that's all we can hope for. But all right, Andy, let's get the fuck out of here.
All right, brother. Was a good one. And we'll see you guys next time, next week. Every Tuesday we'll record, but so we put the episode probably out like the next day. So maybe Wednesday or something like that. The episode will come out. I mean, that depends on Matt. You know, it depends on Sean.
It'll be up within the week, guys.
Yeah. Okay. Check us out. Every week we'll be dropping a new episode.
For sure, guys. So on that note, we'll dip out now. So later, motherfuckers.